Welcome to Onceable, Hypeable's Once Upon a Time podcast. I'm Jen, and tonight I'm joined by Laura, Kristen, and Karen. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
And do we have some episodes to discuss this week? Oh my goodness. So much happened. I was so excited. But we're going to start off, because this is going to be a really long episode, I have a feeling. We are going to start off with Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. In its mid-season finale called Home. So, what did you guys think? Initial reaction of everything we saw in Home. Karen, do you want to start? Or Kristen, you want to start?
I was going to say, I loved like the last 10 minutes, but prior to that, it was like, what is going on? Where are we? Where are people? Like, well, they're just walking in circles at this point. Like, let's just get to it. Come on.
Yeah, I felt pretty much the same way. I thought the last 10 minutes were amazing. And the other thing that I actually really liked about this episode is that I'm finally really on board with Cyrus and Alice. Whereas before I was like, okay, they're kind of boring, you know, they're that epic love and they were already together. And so there was like no build up to that. But I really liked seeing them in the past and the things that they struggled with and stuff like that. And you saw more of their connection. And I think it's too bad that we had to wait this long to really see that. But they did a good job of it this time.
Yeah, I was like, finally, we get Cyrus's backstory. But I still feel like we didn't get enough of his backstory, despite the fact that we did get part of it. Like, I want to know a lot more about his mother. I want to know a lot more about his human life. So I feel like I got a lot more questions than answers, but I would have liked to have had this episode so much earlier in the run. And then I also agree with you, the last 10 minutes, I was like, whoa. But yeah, I just wish we had a lot more of this stuff earlier in the season. Although I'm also slightly annoyed that apparently every threat we make in Wonderland or Once Upon a Time is apparently a big gray smoke monster or a big gray big purple smoke. I mean, I'm like, it's like, what is this? The smoke monsters of the rainbow? Can we come up with another threat besides the big billowing cloud of, I don't know, whatever it is? It's annoying.
I know, seriously, the clouds, really, this one just happens to be, you know, a little more angry than the purple and the green one, but whatever. I agree. I think this episode, had we had it, or the backstory of Cyrus much earlier, I think it would be a different series than where we're at right now. I did enjoy the episode. I'm kind of curious as to how one becomes a genie.
Yes.
We know how Will becomes a genie, obviously, when, oh my goodness, but like... Yep. How did Cyrus become the genie?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just, I felt like, hello, we so needed this earlier on. And
right.
Obviously, it's good that we have questions going into the second part of the series. But I was like, seriously, they should have set this up way before. It would have been,
right.
I think, a lot more interesting to the viewers.
Exactly. And it was cool to see, like, Rabbit's family and to have Will find them. And then, you know, I did like the last minutes, like you guys said, I think that had the most impact and the most relevance to all the things we've been looking for. So hopefully moving forward, we'll get more episodes that are kind of like the last 10 minutes of what we saw. Hopefully.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's move on to quotes. Laura, what was your favorite quote from this episode?
My favorite quote from this episode was... just because you chose it doesn't make it right for you and her, which was the rabbit. And I think I liked it because so often in TV series or in books, you have people go, well, it's her decision or it's his decision and they chose this. So yes, we should all like really support what that decision is. And I just felt like it was a validation of sometimes people make really crappy decisions. And I just thought it was a cool thing for the rabbit to say, you know, just because somebody chose it doesn't mean it was a good choice. Now, maybe that will pan out or not, but I really liked that. I felt like respect was paid to that theme, and I think it's not often paid. So that's why I really liked that quote.
Kristen, do you have yours?
Yes. Mine comes from the Knave, big surprise. And it was all this time we've been using rocks for pillows when we could have been sleeping here. And one of the reasons I love this thing is that they've been running around in circles when she knew that if he got free, he would have gone there. So I kind of understand where the knave's coming from. Like, okay, so we could have just camped out here until we figured out where he was, and then we could have gone after him.
Right.
Or, saved the day.
Or, oh my God, leave the dude a note.
Like, right.
Like, I'm like, really? Like, seriously, you could have avoided the big things with teeth. Why did you not go to the comfy place with the cushions earlier?
Exactly. Yeah, that's so I totally agreed with the knave here. I was like, yeah, that has to be my quote.
Awesome. Karen, how about you?
Mine was also from the knave, between him and Alice. And it was when he was coming back from the woods and he goes, sorry, nature was calling. And Alice says, really? What did it say? And he goes, nothing you want to hear.
I have to be honest, her naivete in that statement of, oh, really? I just about died. I'm like, oh, I know. Gee, really? Work with me here.
It was so funny, though, because you kind of have to, like, give it to her because it's Wonderland, you know? I mean, nature really could be calling.
This is true. Because, you know, there is the grapevine.
Yes. That was, I did like that. That was actually funny. And is it just me, or does that dude with, like, the red thing on his face, like,
the
whatever. I swear to God, it took me forever to remember, think of who he reminds me of. He reminds me of Tim Gunn. I don't know why, but he just does.
I've been trying to place it too, and you are so right. He does. He reminds me of Tim Gunn. That is hilarious.
Voice?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It just, like, forever, like, he reminds me of somebody, Like, I looked him up on the IMDb to say, oh, who is this, like, is it a cameo by someone famous? And it wasn't. I was like, who does it remind me of? And then just all of a sudden, he made this gesture, and I was like, it's Tim Gunn! So I don't, it's not that it's really Tim Gunn, but anyway, that's who he reminds me of. And I don't know why, but he just does.
Okay, then, moving right along. All right, so let's talk about flashbacks, because there were a couple in this episode, and they kind of give us a lot of backstory to Cyrus, finally, which is kind of what we've all been waiting for. So we get to see Alice and Cyrus together, and they're kind of hanging out beneath the stars, and they're talking about his past. So A, Cyrus was human and has a mother. He was not always a genie. B, Cyrus somehow became a genie, yet we don't know how, and he doesn't want to talk about it. And C, they get into a fight with some bad guys, and Alice is pretty much a badass and takes them on, and then gets injured. Ooh, not so good. So what did you guys think about that kind of whole confession of his, about that he was once human and he had a different life?
Well, when he was talking about, like, I knew we were going to be getting some Cyrus backstory in this, but I was really hoping it would be separate from Alice, and even though we got some pre-Alice backstory, he still was talking about it with her, and that was kind of disappointing to me. But I think this whole idea of him being human first is really interesting, and it makes me wonder, since he brought up his mother around that same time, if him becoming a genie had something to do with his mom. Like, maybe he had to save her life or something like that, and it just kind of coincided with him becoming a genie, sort of like what happened with Will.
That's a good theory.
It is a good theory. I don't know, maybe. But he said he didn't know if his mother was alive or not. So if he saved her in some way with a wish, and that's how he became a genie, wouldn't he know if she were alive?
That's a good point. Unless maybe she's in another world. I mean, I'm just thinking of the way they world hop here. Maybe that happened.
Well, and he's been a slave to the bottle. Like, he hasn't been able to really do his own thing. So maybe, you know how Will... The bottle ended up in the ocean the minute Will became a genie. He was separated, so maybe he doesn't know what happened to his mom.
Possibly. So I don't know. We'll have to see as we move forward and stuff how that plays out, because I don't know. I want to know more. I want to know what he was like as a human. So then we have Alice is injured, and Cyrus takes her to the White Rabbit, and the White Rabbit's wife, voiced by Whoopi Goldberg, which I loved. It was fun seeing Rabbit with his family to see what that dynamic is like, because we get Rabbit, who's kind of skittish and lots of trouble and all of that stuff. So to see him, you know, as Rabbit before he was taken kind of hostage by the Red Queen, it was nice to see him in that role. It was also nice to see the talk that the Rabbit has with Cyrus. I think that was a really strong moment for them. So what did you guys think? Did we learn a lot of information in there? Is there anything really relevant that we got out of that section?
I think it just sort of establishes the relationship that Rabbit had with Alice and how long that he's been around and that sort of thing. I mean, otherwise, he kind of was, you know, Cyrus's conscience, but in the end, it's not like it really worked out anyway because Cyrus only sort of half listened. But I don't think it was a huge section there, but I agree. I did really like seeing Whoopi Goldberg as his wife. She's always great.
Yeah, for me, it was like it established what Rabbit had to lose. You know, why it was just like it made very clear what his motivations were. And, you know, he wasn't just a solo operator. So I think that's what the best part of it was for me. That and, yeah, Whoopi Goldberg with John Lithgow is not going to get old anytime soon. Like, we need more of that. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. That was like one of the highlights of the episode for me. Okay, so after Cyrus and the White Rabbit talk about keeping Alice safe, Cyrus decides he's going to go to the ever-lovely Caterpillar and offer him a trade. And he offers him a compass called the Lost and Found in return for Alice's protection. So let's talk about the Lost and Found and how it's going to probably play a role in the future to find Well. Do you guys feel that way after we know the ending of the story now, or ending of the episode now?
Yeah, because why else would you introduce this?
I know, because I was like, why are you introducing, you know, when you first see it, you're like, that's interesting, but it's got to be relevant for some reason. But can we just talk for a minute about how sweet it was that he got her that little, like, hideaway place in the Outlands? Like, it was adorable. I liked Cyrus more for that. But
and I loved her little, like, discussion of, you know, it's our home. It's our place. Like, you know, it's just so adorable to see her kind of, like, just childlike almost, and it was really sweet. I loved that scene. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was a really sweet scene too. So the compass should be interesting to see how it, like, where it is, if the Caterpillar still has it and what they're going to have to do to get it. Because I have a feeling in the second half of the season, that's going to play a large role in the adventure that they go on so that they can find Will. So we're going to jump to present day Wonderland. And in present day Wonderland, there was so much going on. We learned about Alice knowing where Cyrus was headed, and of course the flashbacks kind of tell us that towards the end why he's headed there, because it was their place. Oh, and so a couple of things. As Cyrus escapes, he gets, this is probably one of my favorite parts of the episode, he gets hung up by the grapevine, and the grapevine tells the Tweedle where Cyrus is.
Right. As we could just, I just wanted to go, like, sing it with me. I heard it from the grapevine. Sing it, baby, sing it.
Oh, man, it was just, I was like, I can't even take you right now. So then there's that, and of course, Tweedle scampers off to go tell the Red Queen that they've got Cyrus. On his way to scampering, he sees his brother. And his brother, being the very bad boy that he is giving Jafar the bottle. And so Tweedle automatically, being the good Tweedle that he is, goes to the Red Queen and says, oh, by the way, we've got Cyrus, and, well, we have an issue with my brother. And at first, the Red Queen kind of blows him off. She's like, I am not going to get into your little, you know, child games. And he's like, yeah, but he may have gave Jafar something. At which point the Red Queen knows that Jafar's got the bottle. But as well as she acted out the place of, oh my gosh, my bottle's missing from my chessboard case, it wasn't actually the real bottle. Because be ridiculous as the Red Queen may be, she's a little smarter than she lets on. All that vapid playing is just really an act. She really is smart underneath all of that.
Although it makes me wonder why, when she saw the fake one was missing, why she looked so upset, because nobody was there to see her. The Tweedle had run off. There are no other witnesses, you know, for her to kind of fake this being upset thing.
I think it just proves that Jafar isn't going to help her, because she wanted him to change
her
magic and allow,
right,
you know, her to go back and change her past. And so now she knows he doesn't trust her. He's done. So now she has to figure it out on her own.
Right. And not only that, but now she knows she has a very limited time frame because he's got a fake bottle. And he's going to realize that she pulled a fast one on him. And that's not going to end well.
No, because he controls the evil rain cloud of death.
The evil snake monster of doom.
It's just,
I think that's what that look was for more than anything. Yeah, originality is not their strong point when it comes to evil spells being cast. Every curse shall be a smoke monster. The color variation will tell us how bad it is.
Yeah, let's just rework that CGI, the same clip. Oh my god, yeah, hated it.
So moving on from the smoke monster. So Jafar is really angry, to say the least. So he goes and starts to search for the Red Queen. The Red Queen, in the meantime, has gone off and taken Cyrus and been like, you're coming with me. And Cyrus is kind of like, I don't even know what to do with you right now. So they go to her secret hiding place. And she retrieves the real bottle, which is, you know, helpful. In the meantime, Alice and Will run into the White Rabbit, or they bust into his house and demand to see him, and they demand his help so that when they find Cyrus, they can leave. And he says, I can't. She still has my family and children. If you leave, she'll kill them. And he said he's looked everywhere for them. And so Will finally speaks up and says, there's one place I know she may have kept them. So they also head to, like, this old broken down, was it like a carriage?
It's the wagon that they used to live in.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So basically, this is all about the couples going back to where they started from, essentially. So they go, and while Will realizes that the bottle was there and it's gone, they do find Rabbit's family, and Rabbit's family is now safe. So Rabbit continues on with them to the Outlands to where Alice is headed. So when they get there, Cyrus sadly is not there. But he shortly comes running towards her in the house, right? That was kind of a funny moment because Will's like, she's like, Cyrus. Will's like, no, he's not here. No. But he doesn't realize that he's actually running towards them.
Did anyone else think that Jafar was trying to pull this thing again and that it wasn't really Cyrus?
I thought it was going to be the queen, actually. And I was like, they're kissing, and that's kind of weird, and I don't know if this is real, but yep. I was really glad that it was.
Yeah, I was it's probably fake Cyrus, but I was pleasantly surprised when I discovered it wasn't.
I refused to believe that it could be a fake Cyrus, because I'm like, at some point they have to get back together.
Yes.
It has to work. And if it doesn't do it today, I'm going to be very angry. I'm like, it has been a whole half a season and they have not been together. It's kind of getting boring. So I was excited that it was really him. And then it was so interesting that he so fully wanted to believe the queen and have her help them, because Alice was not having it at all. And Cyrus tries to convince her, but it takes Will kind of being just so like, Will is, like, belligerent with her. He wants nothing to do with her. And I understand why. But when she confesses that the reason she's doing all of this is for Will, what did you guys think?
I wanted to scream, liar, liar, pants on fire. I just feel like if that's really where they're going with this, they have hired the world's worst actress or it's the writing, or I don't know. Like, I am so team Will anybody but the Red Queen. I mean, I'm literally rooting for Jafar to zap her because I just find her so completely plastic and annoying. So I don't know. I don't know if I don't believe her because her acting is so bad or because the writing's bad, or I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
No, I'm definitely with Will on this one. Like, no, do not take her back. She left you for no good reason. Like, she just said, no, I'm leaving you there. Like, she could have made a deal and brought him in on the deal, but she didn't even try. Like, she just took the crown and married that guy and was like, I'm done. Like, I'm going to be queen. Like, let's do this. So yeah, no, I'm totally with Will on this one. Don't ever give her another chance.
Well, just doesn't make sense. Oh, Karen, go ahead. Go ahead, Karen. I'll let you go.
I'll be the only one who says that I love the Red Queen. I don't know what it is, but I think she's amazing. And now, you know, don't get it confused with, I don't want her back with Will. I don't think Will should take her back because what she did was really horrible. But I think she is telling the truth, and I think her scene at the end was amazing, and you could just see how much she really cared for Will. And I don't know if she would make the same mistake again. I kind of have a feeling maybe she would, because she likes power and she's had power for so long that her wanting Will back makes sense to me, but I feel like there's something else there, that the way in which she wants Will back isn't going to be the way that he wants her back. And so I think in the end it's not really going to work out for them. But in terms of the Red Queen and whether she's lying or not, I really do believe her. And I loved her ending scene when she got so emotional.
I do have to say that in the end scene, she wasn't like putting on that voice that she usually does when she's with Jafar. She was much more like Anastasia when she was in those ending scenes. So I liked her more than I normally do when she's speaking. And there was some emotion there. I just don't know. I don't know. It seems too easy. I was doing it all for you, Will. Doesn't that sound like a brilliant excuse to get them to take you out of there?
Yeah, I just keep comparing her to Lana Parrilla on the main Once Upon a Time. And even when Lana's doing the big I am evil Queen Regina, hear me roar thing, there's like depth and nuance to that character. For her, I don't feel like there's any depth. Or like, Regina, you saw layers of a lot of different things. And I just don't feel like we've gotten any of that with her. And then suddenly now we had something and I was like, okay, so this came out of nowhere. Like, I don't know that I can totally blame the actress here. I feel like the writing hasn't been there for her.
Well, and not to mention that her whole motivation for all of this is that she wants to go back, use magic to change her past and not make the decision she did, and basically take away all of the bad that she's done because of it. Well, that's nice, but you're basically taking Will's choices away. You're taking away his choice to say, no, you did all of this and I don't agree with it, I'm not taking you back. Like, that just seems really twisted.
It's selfish, which is exactly what she is. That's what she was, because she chose to marry a man she didn't even know, for the power and the money, to be something different. And now she wants Will back along with the power and the money. Like, I don't think she wants to give up that lifestyle. I think she wants to keep all of those things. She just wants Will in her life now. So in order to do it, she has to make different choices.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that, because I think that, like, her ideals and everything, just they're not going to mesh with Will's now. And I think I agree with you, Kristen. I think it's really sad that she would want him back so much, but at the same time, take away his own choices for that. And I don't know. I don't see it working out.
I don't know. We'll see. But let's get to the really exciting part of this last few minutes of Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. So the dark rumbling smoke monster comes out to get the evil queen, and it's deflected and it hits the knave and he begins to die. And if he dies, Alice dies, because, you know, she may have wished that on herself. And because of that, Cyrus is freaked out. Everyone's freaked out. And he tells her to use her last wish. She refuses, of course, because she's Alice, and doesn't want to send him back to the bottle. But unfortunately for Alice, the wish is not hers to make. It's actually Will's, because she promised that if Will helped her find Cyrus, he would get a wish. So Cyrus says, "Wish carefully, knave." And so Will uses the wish and words it in such a way that he wants to end Alice's suffering. Now, when he said it, I thought it was an odd wish, and I didn't think it was going to turn out so well. And for the most part, it turned out really good, except for Will. So what did you guys think when he made the wish?
I thought that that was a really good way to get Alice killed, because as soon as he said that, I was like, end her suffering, okay? Euthanize Alice. Like, literally, that's what I thought. I thought, boy, was that the dumbest thing to say. So that was where my mind went.
Me too. I immediately went to, he's trying to word it in a way where he doesn't live through it and she does. Like, I don't think he wanted to make it out of there. I think he wanted her to live and him not to. So he couldn't say, reverse the spell. Like, he was trying to figure out a way to, like, say, you know, save her, not me. And so immediately that's where I went was, you know, he's really done. Like, he doesn't want to be anywhere near Anastasia. Like, holy crap.
True. Interesting. I kind of had that thought, too, that he was going to die. I'm like, if one more person dies on these shows, I'm going to lose it. This cannot happen.
I know. I was like, if the knave leaves, I'm done. Like, there's no reason.
Get me out. Yeah. So what really happens is, so Alice is all set, and Cyrus quickly realizes that his bonds are broken, that he is no longer bound to the bottle, because he doesn't disappear once the wish is made. However, Will disappears, and that means that Will is in the bottle, as we see. Might I add that him rocking the leather jacket and his whole, like, tough guy getup with the gold bracelets in the bottle, best thing ever.
Hilarious.
Yeah, if we put him in genie clothes, I'm going to have to protest. It just, it does not work. Oh, God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? No.
Can we say bloody hell? I mean, yes. Give me a bloody hell.
Yeah. So, but I kind of like this twist. I find it intriguing. I don't see Will being a very nice genie. Like, great. Okay, well, what are you going to give me? I don't have to grant your wishes. Like, I could just, he'd be mouthy. That's all. He'd be a very mouthy genie. So what do you guys think about the future of Will as a genie in a bottle? How's that going to rock? And he's, like, falling over a waterfall because, you know, why not?
Well, somebody's got to find him. So the question is, who finds and recognizes what it is, picks up the bottle and rubs it? I mean, that's a whole process right there.
Yeah, well, I really don't know where they're going to go with this, because I feel like this isn't going to be a permanent thing. I mean, it's the knave, and I feel like he's so important that, you know, him turning into a genie, it just feels odd to me. I mean, it was a great twist. I definitely didn't see it coming, and it adds a whole new set of conflicts for everybody, which is cool, and I'm excited for that. But I don't know. Do you guys feel like this thing's going to stick?
I feel like it's going to stick because Jafar is still looking for that genie. He still needs that genie for the spell. So he is going to be looking for Cyrus still, because as far as he knows, Cyrus is the genie. But once he figures that out, then it's going to be him looking for Will. And so I'm hoping that somehow they use the Lost and Found to find Will before Jafar gets involved.
Or maybe somehow the knave will trick Jafar into becoming the next genie, and he'll be free, and Jafar will be trapped.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah, I like that.
That would be a good place for Jafar.
In a bottle. Then he can bury the bottle. Right.
So exactly. Box far, far away. Okay, so does anyone have anything else about this episode about Wonderland? No? Okay. Are you guys ready?
We just want to talk about Once Upon a Time.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, God, I almost died last night. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, it was amazing. I didn't get to watch it at 8 o'clock because I was busy working on a paper. So I watched it afterwards, and I saw someone in our Facebook group, like, posted a, oh, my God, we were talking about the most emotional scenes, and it was for, like, she's like, Once Upon a Time, and it says, spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. I'm like, okay, I'm not reading after that. Like,
see, that's exactly what I did.
Me too.
So I didn't shut that. It was like, my paper's going to have to wait a minute. And I went and put it on because I'm like, I can't take it. I cannot be on the internet and get spoiled. Like, I have to turn it on. See. So, oh my God. So what did you guys think? What's your initial reaction? And how many tissues did you use? Because, you know,
involved.
I mean, easily the best writing of the series so far. Easily. Oh, yeah. Easily.
Definitely. And this felt like the season finale to me, not the mid-season finale.
Definitely.
It was intense. Pretty much this whole first half of the season has been really, really well done. But this episode was crazy good. Like, it just, it was, you didn't expect half the things that were coming out of it. It was fantastic.
Yeah, and I have to say, like, I made it so far into the episode. I was so proud of myself that I hadn't broken down, but the minute Emma started crying, I lost it. I was like, I just can't hold it together anymore. Like, I made it through so much, and I was like, yeah, it's just done.
I definitely lost it before that.
the whole Rumpel taking out his father and Belle and, oh God, yeah.
I mean, I was actually crying. Like, sometimes I get teary-eyed during television shows, but I, like, tears were running down my cheeks. This was so emotional.
It was pretty powerful. Okay, did anyone else, like, with the whole Rumpel thing, when Belle, like, collapses to the ground and everyone's just standing there, I'm like, comfort her. Comfort,
yes!
Like,
yes, I know.
And no one even, like, looks at her. I'm like, hey, hello, I know you're all super shocked right now, but what about Belle? The crumpled
I know, and like, didn't somebody turn to Bay and he was like, I'm okay, or whatever, and like, there's Belle just lying on the
there's
floor.
There's a girl, in the, she's in a puddle. She wasn't even, I mean, it was raining. There's Belle on the ground in a puddle, and Bay is just leaving her in the puddle. Yeah, like, I was really upset no one got her out of the puddle.
Yeah, I expected Bay to turn around and, like, just grab her and have them hold each other. But no, he just kind of stood there, and I was like, okay, all right, just let her be, whatever.
Yeah, I was a little shocked by that one. I thought there would be a little bit of comforting. But I digress. Anyway, we're going to so be off topic this whole entire episode. I can see it already. All right, so quotes. Let's get to them. Laura, you first.
Speaking of, like, the teary-eyed whole bit is where Henry looks at Regina and says, you're not a villain, you're my mom. Like, that was just, yeah, that's it. That was the great quote. I loved it. That was so amazing.
Very true. Yeah, mine is definitely a little more lighthearted. It was Hook to Regina, and just so well done. He says, his curse remains. Can you stop it? Or should we all start preparing our souls? Because mine's going to take some time.
Yeah, that was kind of brilliant. Oh, goodness. And Karen, did you have one?
Yes, this is probably when I really started crying, was when Rumpel had already stabbed his father and his father was trying to convince him to let him go and said, we can have our happy endings together. And Rumpel just says, oh, but I'm a villain and villains don't get happy endings.
I know, Rumpel.
He was such
so
a
good. Line. He had a lot of depth this episode. Not that he doesn't, like, usually, but, like, he had a lot going on.
You know what, too? It was also the fulfillment of the prophecy of the boy. The boy will be your undoing, and he is. Figuratively, certainly, and by using, and perhaps literally, depending upon, you know, how this all works out or doesn't work out, yeah.
Well, and after we heard him say that quote and then Regina says it later, I just started thinking, oh, God, tell me that's not the new I will always find you. Like, if we keep hearing this, like, oh, I'm going to get mad.
I don't think we will because it'll really lose its substance. So
yeah.
I hope that they just kind of leave it at this.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's get into it because there's so much to discuss. Okay, so we're in present day, because there were a couple, like, flashbacks, but we'll discuss those at the end, because really present day is where it's at. So we have Pan in Henry's body talking to Felix, and okay, first of all, who knew that when he started talking about the heart of the thing he loved the most, that it was going to end up being poor Felix?
I felt really bad for Felix, actually.
Felix, you fool.
I know.
Yeah, poor Felix bit it. His heart became dust because Pan's a jerk. So we have him taking Felix's heart because he needs it. And the thing he cares about most is loyal. You know, it was Felix's loyalty that he cared about. So it's been cast, but it can be stopped because the curse is originally Regina's. So they come up with a plan to switch Henry back into his real body so that he can have the scroll and they can break the curse. Not complicated at all. With that, though, they need the black wand, which the Dead Blue Fairy has hidden somewhere because the Black Fairy is disavowed or dead or something like that. So Tink, Hook, Bay, was that it? The three of them? Go to retrieve the...
And Charming.
How could I forget Charming? Go to retrieve the Black Wand from the nuns. And they're all standing vigil over the Blue Fairy in her coffin, who doesn't look very dead. Anyway, so they're doing their thing, and what happens is, as they are looking for the wand, Pan's shadow comes and starts to give them kind of a hard time. And with Pan's shadow, they realize there's nothing they can do. They have the coconut. Again, this coconut's very handy, by the way. I mean, let's just carry this coconut with us wherever we go.
I just have to say, my husband, who knows next to nothing about Once Upon a Time, was watching it with me, and he literally just sort of stopped and went, did she just trap him in a coconut? Like, it just, like he was totally distracted by that plot point.
Yep. It's like putting the lime in the coconut, except it's the pan in the coconut.
He did, and he's like, is it a super strong coconut? Can he not break out of the coconut? So yeah, my husband got very distracted on the coconut.
Yeah. So, with that, what happens is they have the coconut, but the shadow's too high. Oh no, they can't get him. So, if you have a fairy whose, you know, wings aren't really working right now, but she may have some fairy dust, she could probably help you if she just believed in herself. So they convince Tink that she should use the fairy dust and that she can do it. And lo and behold, Tink has her magical moment, and she manages to catch Pan's shadow. So what did you guys think about that whole scene? Like, this whole, believe in yourself, Tinkerbell.
Swear to God, I thought any second they were going to break the fourth wall, look at the camera, and go, let's everybody clap for Tinkerbell.
Aww.
I really liked this part, actually. I just kind of liked the fact that Tink was this disgraced fairy, and then she did start believing in herself. And yeah, it was a little bit silly, but I think that for her to get that little bit of redemption was really nice. And also, I couldn't help but notice that Hook and her have, like, amazing chemistry. And I know we're talking about Hook, who has chemistry with, like, everybody, but I don't know. They haven't really explored them having a thing in the past, right?
I don't think so. I don't think we've gotten a Hook Tink, like, backstory. I don't think they have, right?
Because I feel like it's been hinted at before, but I didn't remember anything specific either.
I don't think it has. Like, there's been some, like, a couple of moments here and there. Like, in the flashback with those two, you kind of get the vibe that they're interested, but you haven't really had a discussion about Tink and Hook having anything more than a friendship.
I did really like Hook in this scene, though, because he really seems to have embraced the, like, he's not a villain thing. Like, I mean, in this world, in this story, Peter Pan is very much the villain. So it's always made me wonder if Hook is supposed to be the hero now. But I just loved that with the Peter and Hook thing, they've always been, you know, hero and villain. Well, since it's flipped, I've kind of wondered if Hook was going to take on the hero mantle or if he's going to continue to hide behind this, I'm a villain, what are you talking about kind of thing. So I feel like he kind of embraced his inner hero in this scene and, like, jumped in to save the day. And I just really loved all of that.
Yeah, I also feel like, you know, because this is the team known for, like, their ships with Lost, and you used to go back and forth all the time, going, is it Kate with Jack or Kate with Sawyer and Sawyer with Juliet or Juliet with Jack? I feel like now they're shifting it so much more to, like, Hook, Emma, and they're really changing the Hook dynamic. Like, I'm really, really curious. Like, I feel like you don't know where this is going to go. Like, there's such a good case for each side. I'm really, really curious to see, especially season, you know, the second half of the season, how this is going to play out. Because especially that last scene, he was so, like...
We will get to that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to jump the gun.
Discussion in of
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
Thank you very
but
much.
It, yeah, but definitely, like, the character... But it goes to what you guys are saying, is clearly the characterization has changed. And I think for the good, he's evolving, and I think that's really good.
I think he's kind of left the anger he had for Rumple and what Rumple did behind him. He's let the revenge go so that there are other things for him to look at now.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because Rumpel clearly, you know? I mean, he obviously changed. I mean, it's just so clear that he did. So, yeah, why not let go of it?
I think the biggest twist in this very beginning part of the episode is that with Pan's shadow destroyed, the red fairy The blue fairy, too many colors. The blue fairy is back. She's alive. Now, there's a lot of questions that go with that. So does that mean that anyone that Pan ripped a shadow from is still alive?
That would be my guess.
Okay, so that means Greg is alive somewhere. Tamara was shot. Rumpel killed her, so she's out of the question. But that could still possibly leave Greg somewhere.
Yeah, who's stuck on Neverland, perhaps, if his body hasn't rotted away. Yeah.
It's so weird. But yeah, so I don't know what that means for more characters or anything like that. It'll be interesting to see how that works out. And so the blue fairy finally refers to Tinkerbell as Tink instead of Green. And she kind of says, you know, you're a fairy again because you believed in all this very lovely, mushy stuff. So Tink's back in the good graces of the fairies, kind of where she belongs. And then we go back to the shop where Rumpel is with everyone. And they start talking about what they're going to do and how they're going to take care of the curse and what they're going to do next with Pan. And so Rumpel takes out a cuff that blocks the powers that I guess Tamara and Greg use them on people, so it would block people's magic. So Rumpel says, you guys go ahead. You go find Henry when he reconnects with his body and get the scroll and stop the curse. I will talk to my dear dad. And so he puts the cuff on Pan, thinking that it'll block Pan's magic. Sadly, it doesn't. So we kind of have this moment when Pan wakes up between he and Rumpel. And it is probably some of the, it's hard to say, but I think it's some of the best acting that was done in that episode. It was so good. Robbie Kay is just so, so fantastic. And if Pan is truly dead, I am so, so sad to see him go.
Yes. Yeah, because Robbie Kay was fantastic. You're absolutely right.
Magnificent.
Wow.
I've loved every episode that he has been in. He is just brilliant. He's brilliant when he's playing Henry, even though he's really, you know what I mean? Like, everything he does is so good. And that scene between he and Rumpel was just, it was gut-wrenching. And at the same time, it was just, it was beautiful. So I don't know. What did you guys
think? I feel horrible for saying this, but part of me really wanted them not to switch back bodies so that he could just be Henry for like the rest of the show.
Yeah. I wanted him to stick
not
around.
The only one, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I didn't care how, just wanted him to stay.
Yeah, and I kind of liked evil Henry. Like, I thought Henry was, I don't know the actor's name, but him playing a little bit more of an evil character, I thought he did that really well.
I did too. I thought he had more depth playing the evil Henry, yes. Particularly like the heart-grabbing scene, I really liked that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal. Poor Felix. So, we move from that emotional scene to the gang, because I don't know what else to call them besides that, because there's a very large sum of them, are all kind of out looking for Henry. So, Henry comes running out, and he hands Regina the scroll. Regina takes the scroll, but she, like, there's, like, the purple flash, a.k.a. the mini smoke monster, and she collapses. And when she wakes up, she says, okay, I know what I need to do. And you can tell that she's not really okay with whatever it is she needs to do, but she'll do it. So at that point in time, did you guys have any idea what the expectation would be of what Regina would have to do?
I thought she was going to die. I thought we were going to lose both of them. And it was just really sad.
I know.
I really think there would be a riot if Regina was killed. Like, oh my gosh.
that would be an understatement.
Yeah.
I know.
To say no. She's beloved is definitely shortchanging it. Yeah. There would be.
And there's just so much depth to that character she plays, and so much that's unanswered with the whole Robin Hood line that has gone unexplored. Like, yeah, they just can't go down that path. That would be very unfortunate.
Exactly. So we kind of get that moment, and as we get that moment, of course, who shows up? Oh, wait, it would be Pan again in his evilness. So Pan is basically saying, I'm going to kill you all. The others are just going to forget who they are, and I will be a puppet master. But you all will die because Rumple loves you and we're just not doing that anymore. And then Rumple comes out and Pan is like, well, what are you going to do? And he, you know, calls him coward and says all the things because he knows he can't use his magic. But Rumple plays it up because Rumple's like, I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm done with you. And I'm going to end it now because I'm not afraid anymore. So Rumple basically embraced what being a coward meant and showed everybody that he was no longer a coward in any way, shape, or form. And so he says, I'm not the only one who lost his shadow father. And so Shadow shows up with the dagger, and he daggers the both of them so that both Pan and himself are daggered, at which point the box of tissues was required. So what did you guys think? Like, how... as you're watching that, do you think, no, he's not, no, he can't die, no.
I honestly felt that this was inevitable. I don't want to say that it was a huge surprise to me. That didn't make it any less emotional, but I had a feeling in the end, ever since we heard about the prophecy, Rumple was going to sacrifice himself and that was going to be his redemption. So it didn't really surprise me, but I still cried buckets.
I think the bigger question is, are they actually dead?
Yeah, because right. Their bodies, like, disappear.
Well, here's the thing. Like, clearly...
Will's body disappeared and he ended up in a bottle.
Well, like, right. Well, here's the thing. I mean, in just... Maybe it was just me with, like, spatial relations, but in looking at the size of that dagger... I felt like, yeah, no problem. It definitely pierced through the entire body of his father. But I felt like it would have done minimal damage at best to his own body. Like, I just wasn't feeling as though the length of that item was enough to deal him a fatal blow.
But well, I don't think it did, though, because isn't that how the dagger works? You have to kill... What is it? In order to get the power of the Dark One, I guess you have to kill the Dark One and then you become right. The Dark One. So I guess right. That doesn't really work.
So does it null and void the Dark One? Like, what happens? How does that work? Where's the dagger? Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's not final.
Right.
Like, it was emotional. It was effective. It had a point. But I don't know if it's real.
See, I, as much as I love Rumple and as sad as I am to see him go, I want it to be real because I don't want it to cheapen it by him coming back and being alive.
But he wouldn't necessarily be magical if he were alive, which would True. Be a whole other ball game. Do you know what I mean? Because yeah. Here's the thing. Do you really take an actor like Robert Carlyle, kill him off, and there hasn't been a single... interview with him since this happened, which if you kill someone off a show in such a big way, usually there are interviews after that to talk about it. There hasn't been anything about it. There hasn't been comment from the creators. There hasn't been comment from Robert Carlyle. There's been no comment whatsoever.
Right. It's like, bwahaha, join us after the Winter right. Olympics.
Right. So that's what kind of leads me to believe that it's not final.
Yeah.
Because there's no discussion. Whereas the guy was... Oh, wait, I don't want to spoil it. There was another show where a major character was killed and it's been discussed everywhere. Do you know what I mean? So that...
Right.
That's...
Yeah. Well, it is... And even to draw a parallel on it, like, I know, people are probably tired of this, but The Walking Dead, Carol cannot possibly be dead or written off the series because for right. exactly why you said, there would have been a major discussion. So I agree with you. Your logic here is very, very sound.
Well, and you also throw in the wrinkle that Storybrooke is gone and that everything that happened there is, you know, it's not a part of this realm anymore. So that throws a wrinkle into it, too, because you don't know if that affects what happened either. Like, it shouldn't, but it could. And who knows?
It could. So one doesn't know. That's just it. So as Rumple is making this sacrifice, everyone else is frozen, by the way, watching. There's nothing they can do to help him. So Bay and Belle are forced to watch. And then Rumple says his lovely final words, but I'm the villain and villains don't get their happy endings, which I thought was a lovely line. I know we're a little worried about that being the new catchphrase instead of I will always find you. Although it seems like we have more reason to go back to the I will always find you line, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure we'll be hearing that again in the spring.
Mary Margaret didn't say it. I thought she was going to say it. She was so close, but I think she said, we'll always be family. And I was like, oh,
yes.
They didn't do it.
It's like, come on. So we have that moment. And then we have Bay and Belle's reaction. As we said, Bay was a little kind of shocked by it, but he held it together. Belle is a sobbing heap on the ground and nobody like comforts her. I felt really bad. And I was like, is anyone else notice something wrong with this right now? But anyway.
I thought that was a really great reaction, though. Like, I mean, you can just tell how hard it hit Belle.
Yeah, I mean, she had finally come to a place where she was really comfortable with who Rumple was. Because he was changing. He was evolving. He was becoming somebody different. And I think that was huge for his character. I think the characters in this particular season have grown and changed so much. Like last season, I felt like we always talked about, you know, are Regina and Rumple redeemable? What will be their redemption? And we had that conversation a lot. Now I think that we've seen what their redemption can be. We've seen what they're willing to do and what they're willing to give up to do something right for everybody, not just for themselves. And I think that's a huge difference from the characters we started with and even from the characters we were seeing last season.
Or at the beginning of this one, like with Rumple leaving the boat, and we all thought, you know, what is he doing? Like, why is he leaving them? And it to see it kind of come full circle even in half a season is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's been pretty intense. So we kind of have all of that. And then Regina finally says, okay, I can stop the curse, but there's a price. And so she starts talking about all of these things that could happen. And I was like, whoa, are we going to have a show to come back to? Like, what are we doing here, kid?
I know.
Because they put some rules in place, yo. Like, no more Storybrooke. It no longer exists. Goodbye. So we will never go to that little Hamlet in Maine again.
Right. What's the price they're paying now? Because like we had the whole little like 1 year later, so what has been the price they've been paying for the past year? It really makes you wonder.
Right. Well, the price was that Regina could no longer see Henry again. Like Regina said, absolutely, I can never see him again. So that was one of the prices. The second price was that Henry can't travel anywhere because he's human, or he was born in this world, so he has to stay in this world. Emma could have gone, but then that would leave Henry alone. So Emma has to stay with Henry. Okay, so there's two things. Emma can't go with her entire family. Now she's on her own. And Henry is on, you know, with Emma. They're totally, you know, fending for themselves, even though they've just met their entire family. Then you get the really big one where they can't remember anything. Their memories have to be erased.
Right, except like Hook clearly knew who she was and came back, so like something's going on.
Henry's memory is erased.
Right.
Not people that are going back to the Enchanted Forest. Only Emma and Henry.
Right, but he was able to travel there, so I'm curious how.
Right, he's Hook, man. I'm sure he came up with something.
Hijacked the White Rabbit. The White Rabbit did it. Who knows?
He brought the White Rabbit. Is the big. So some of the big questions are: what happens if Regina sees Henry again? Like, how bad would it be?
Right.
Is it like, is it the curse tenfold? Is it like, what is it?
And is that like, this has happened now. Henry now he's never met Regina in his memories. He doesn't know who she is. He doesn't care. She doesn't exist. So if he saw her, like, what would happen? Why would that be such a bad thing? Like, you now have no more storybook. So the fact that the curse doesn't exist, like, that just immediately when she said, I can never see Henry again, I was like, and what would happen if you do?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's one of that big ominous thing that clearly is going to pop up later down the line. Like, well, you're going to have to, like, be blindfolded when you talk to each other. I don't know. It's weird. So then we move on to the second most gut-wrenching moment of the show, or maybe the third. I don't know. There were so many. And we have the goodbyes at the Storybrooke town line. And everyone's there, and Regina and Henry say goodbye, which is very sweet and bad for Regina. Like, she only just got everything to work for her and for Henry, and now she has to lose him forever. And it's just so painful. I hate that. And then you have Emma and Neil. Now, did you guys feel like the Emma and Neil thing was kind of like, yeah, see you later?
Totally. Yeah.
It was me. I'm done. Done with you.
It was kind of short. She had eyes for Hook, let's just say it.
Yes! I felt like that ship is, like, to me, I felt like that ship was just so settled with this whole episode, and Bay's going to end up with whoever the heck Bay ends up with. Like, I just feel like it's, I don't know, that it was just so over. Very strange. I don't know.
Yeah, considering, like, I don't know, it was just, it was odd. And then, so I guess the question is, where does Neil go? Does he go back to the Enchanted Forest? Does he go back to London?
Wouldn't he? Because Regina said something to the effect of, everyone goes to where they were before the curse was enacted. Well, he had fallen through the portal with the bean before she enacted the curse. So Bay wouldn't go back to the Enchanted Forest, would he?
You're correct. He would be either in Neverland or he would be on Earth.
London.
Yeah, in London.
So he could be in the mortal world somewhere.
Yeah, but he would have memories. Why wouldn't he try to find Emma?
Exactly. That's why I got so confused. I was like, wouldn't he be like, he could be in London. Like, there's every chance he could be in Neverland as well. But, you know, I would think at that time he would have to be in London by then. And why wouldn't he go looking for Emma? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
She would have memories of him because she knew him, obviously, before Henry was born and all of that. So she would recognize him. She wouldn't remember everything that just happened, but she would definitely know who he was.
But I wonder if he's, because he's originally from the Enchanted Forest, if those memories are gone too. Because the point at which Regina gave Emma back memories was the point at which Henry was born. That's all we see. So I don't know.
So you don't think that she knows who Neil is because he is a fairy tale character?
Yes.
Oh, so Henry was immaculately conceived.
Well, I don't know what Regina gave her for memories. We see the point at which he is born and she changes those memories.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So I don't know. You know, I have no idea because, so he's not human. He's not from this world. So therefore, she's not supposed to remember any of the characters. So I don't know if she would remember him.
That is a really good point.
So that's just kind of, I don't know what to do with that. So, but that's not
so
to say that he
Emma
couldn't
think
come back
Henry's
into
dad.
Life.
Yeah.
I don't
like,
know.
Who is Henry's dad? Emma now?
I don't know. So, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if Regina built in different memories. I don't know. Because they are supposed to have no recollection of the people in the town. So I don't know if he's included in that or not. Like, I don't know how that plays for him because he's different. We'll see, I guess. So we get Emma and Hook saying goodbye to each other, which is kind of sassy. Because Hook says, I'll think about you every day. And she kind of smirks and says, well, you better.
This is so stressful for me. Because I love Hook. But I really love Neil with Emma. And It's so hard. I don't know who to choose. I have a crisis.
I am fully on Captain Swan. Like, I am totally with Hook and Emma. Like, let's go right now.
Yeah,
I'm all about it. I love them.
I used to be more of a Emma and Bay shipper, but I have to tell you, I'm feeling the Hook and Swan love now. I don't know who Bay goes with, but I'm starting to feel that reluctantly, I'm really starting to feel the pull there of that ship. So interesting to see
Yeah.
where it goes.
I'm in the same place, Laura. It'll all be okay. It'll
I
all be
felt
fine.
like it, I felt like it was over for the Bay ship when she stood him up in the coffee shop. I felt like, oh, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, it was pretty final. Okay, so then, this is the part where Regina tells Emma, by the way, you're gonna lose all your memories of Storybrooke and the time before the curse. So that's when she says, I will, but there's something I can give you. I can give you happy memories, which I thought was really generous of Regina because Regina's losing everything. She's losing Henry. She's losing everything that she loved. And yet she's willing to give Emma happiness.
It really is a giant step forward for Regina, like by far.
Well, here's a question. Like, one of the things that I thought, when we heard that pound, pound, pound on the door, I think obviously everybody's first reaction was, who is it? And I was wondering, going along that same lines of like, what can I give you? Where do people go? I started wondering if August was going to be at the door.
I would have loved
Oh.
that. I love him so much.
Because I thought it was going to be August at the door, is really what I thought it was,
That would have been
because
so
it was.
wonderful.
Yeah, because it's that same idea of almost like, where do you go back? Where were you? So I'm not sure if that affects him or not.
Oh, I would love to have August back. Oh, I love
Me
it. I
too.
loved August.
I did. It was sad when he went back to being a boy.
Yeah, I know.
I know. So like Charming and Emma saying goodbye. Did you guys think that it was a bit like quick and kind of like, oh, yep, see you later, Dad? Like, wasn't it odd?
Yeah,
I
that was.
felt. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It was just so short. Like, and the Snow kissing Emma on the forehead and not saying anything when all, they are talkers, man. Like, they always have something to say and last words, and they're very epic. And so, the sheer fact that it was a hug and then Snow kisses her on the forehead and then that's it, I was like, wow. Like, it took me by surprise.
I was kind of surprised that Charming didn't come over after Snow did and hug Emma like that too. But other than that, I actually thought this was a perfect goodbye because what else are you going to say? There's nothing that you can say that's going to make this okay. I mean, everybody's going to be so sad and heartbroken that I feel like kind of a wordless goodbye is really the only thing that you can do because it's going to suck either way.
Definitely. And like earlier in the episode, Emma said something while they were waiting somewhere, and Snow had a really bad reaction to it. And you could see already that it was something about Emma talking about like not having happiness or something like that in this world with Henry. Like if she would have just changed her mind, like it could have been totally different or something like that. And so in that moment, like knowing that she's going to not know who they are anymore, I just thought it was really, really like poignant that Snow didn't say anything. She just gave her a kiss and, it was just, I love you and you know that. So it was, yeah, really great moment.
So that kind of wraps up like the goodbyes at the line, and Regina tells them, you have to go. You have to go before it comes. And you can kind of see that the smoke monster is rumbling through town. And Henry and Emma get in the car, and the purple envelops everyone at the line. And they all watch Henry and Emma drive away. And then you kind of get the feeling that everything within Henry and Emma changes as soon as the curse is cast again. And so then we kind of do like a flash forward a whole year later. So like an entire year has gone by, and we have Emma and Henry are living in New York in a pretty sweet apartment, by the way. Like,
whose apartment is that and how do they pay for it?
Yeah, really.
Because I don't think Bond's bail ladies make that much money.
No, not at all. Yeah, seriously.
And it's funny that they chose New York over Boston, which was where Emma was living before.
Yeah, that's why it made me think maybe it's August at the door. Because that's where Bay was, right? Wasn't Bay right. in New York? Well, so that's why I thought it was August, maybe. Yeah.
Right. I'm looking around the apartment to see if there was anything from Bay's apartment there. Just like on the off chance. Because I was like trying to look at all the things in the apartment to see. I was like, ooh. Because if they're in New York City. but I didn't see anything.
Well, and I don't know if it was in a comment or something, but someone said that the song they were listening to was the song we heard when we saw Bay for the first time this season.
That's
or
so
last
weird.
Season.
We'll have to look that
up. I'm not sure, cool. but I thought I read it somewhere, and I was like, if so, that's a really cool parallel since she turned off the stereo, like so it was actually in their world she chose that song. Like, that's kind of
right.
cool.
That's one of those things. so we have them. We have the song choice. That's so cool. And then we have the big bang on the door. And she's like, what is going on? So she goes and answers. And it's Hook. So Hook has somehow found his way back to Emma, which I think is kind of telling about where that ship is headed. Even though she doesn't remember him and maybe kicks him. and he says, Emma, I finally found you. And she's like, oh, who's the crazy dude in the pirate getup? Because,
yeah.
dude, we could not find him normal clothes. He is in
right.
Manhattan. He's knocking at Emma's door, who isn't going to know who he is. And we can't get the boy some normal clothes. Come on.
I know.
He's in a rush, okay?
Just give him a motorcycle jacket. Because he needs the leather jacket, but just make it a shorter one. So it's
he
not quite so.
Leather. He just needs to lose the pirate thing and maybe the hook for a little bit, you know?
I was starting to wonder, like, can we get him, I don't know, a prosthetic or something? I mean, just, I don't know. Surely there's science available.
Anyway, so he, in a very rash move, he decides that maybe giving her a kiss would help her remember him. It didn't go so well for Hook, is all I'm saying. So Emma kicks him out, and Hook is yelling, your family is in trouble. They need you. And Emma's all kind of weirded out and is just kind of like, oh, okay. And shuts the door on him, and Henry's like, who is that? And she's like, I don't know, some crazy man. And that's kind of where the episode ends. And then we get the trailer for the next season, which doesn't start until March. Can we please talk about that for a minute? Really? March? The Olympics are cool and all, but March? I am not okay with this. And in that preview, we get the Wicked Witch of the West. I am so excited. Because I think she's going to be super evil. What do you guys think?
Oh, totally. Totally see that.
My gut reaction was, she's blonde. there's something about the Wicked Witch of the West. She's always, you know, for me, she's not blonde. If anyone's seen Wicked the musical, you know,
right.
there's a very distinct
right.
reason she's not blonde. And so
yeah.
I see this actress with blonde hair and I'm like, that's not acceptable.
Did she like, really have blonde hair?
Yes, yes. If I paused the trailer to look at her to make sure that it wasn't just the lighting or whatever, she has blonde hair. And so I'm like, this is going to be an interesting interpretation of it. You know, I don't know if they're going to use proper names or if she's going to be Elphaba or if it's going to be something else. But it's definitely going to put a twist on the tale, and I'm a little worried.
Yeah. I don't know. See, when you just said she's blonde, all I could think about was the line from
Wicked.
From Wicked, where she actually says she's blonde,
she's
meaning
blonde.
Galinda.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I guess she is kind of blonde.
Yep.
Huh. I don't think I like that.
Just really unsettled me because it changes a lot of things. So I'm like, that's, you know, that's going to be an issue. I'm sure they're going to address it. You can't just, you know, let it be the elephant in the corner. Like, they're going to talk about it. So should be interesting.
It should be indeed. So basically, that will be our new big bad villain, will be the Wicked Witch of the West. And I'm so excited to see what they do with her because she can be lots of fun. So that kind of just leaves us with a whole bunch of questions for the second half of the season. Right? Do you guys feel like you just have like a million and one questions right now?
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
I just don't even know where to begin. Like, I don't know. Anyway, so do you guys have anything else about this episode? Because I feel like it's been pretty intense. There was a lot to talk about.
There was one thing. The only, like, of those flashbacks, I mean, they were all really nice to see, but the storybook.
Yes.
I was really interested to find out where it came from. We've always wondered. And Snow said she found it in her closet and that she doesn't know how it got there. Like, she doesn't remember how it got there.
It was just there one day.
Right. So that makes you wonder, you know, did August put it there? Did someone else? Did it magically appear? And now where is it?
Yeah, because it got eaten by the smoke monster.
Right. But does that mean that it's gone? Or did it move? Or is it somewhere else?
Here's the thing. The thing that I find interesting is that the Blue Fairy in one of the flashbacks talked to Charming and Snow about hope. And that they just had to have hope because that's what she feels. She feels hope. She feels that Emma is hope. So I wonder if the book is somehow the representation of hope and that it appears when you least expect it to bring back to you the things you didn't know before.
Which could mean maybe it's the link for Henry and Emma to
their family. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because it's hope. It's everyone's hope in a book. So I don't know. That's the only thing I could think of.
So do you think if they find the book again, maybe they'll get their memories back?
It's possible. Anything's possible, right?
Yeah.
It's it's Once Upon a Time. Come on.
Yeah. I was thinking, too, about Hook at the end and how he kisses her. I mean, we've heard so many times and we've seen it so many times that true love's kiss will, you know, break that bond and everything. And nothing happened when Hook kissed Emma, so just but saying.
She didn't really let him kiss her either.
Well,
she was a little bit like, you know what I mean? So I think.
Yeah, apparently that true love kiss thing isn't working anymore.
Yeah.
Well, and I imagine if Charming and Snow would have kissed when they first met, it might not have been so powerful.
Right. So I think it's a matter of
the bond developing. Yeah.
Exactly. What's really there and what, you know, what works.
Exactly.
So I don't know. So
you and your excuses.
Hey,
any excuse.
Boatload, don't worry. I think the second half of the episode, the season, is going to be really fascinating because there's so many things that haven't been addressed. And now that they're living in the Enchanted Forest, I think it's going to be fascinating. Because in the Enchanted Forest, we have Aurora and Prince Philip and Mulan, you know, that we left behind. We have Robin Hood. And Regina better, like, get some of her happy ending because I need to see how that action plays out. So I don't know. There's so much to explore when they go back to the Enchanted Forest. And I'm not sure how they got into so much trouble. But, you know, the Wicked Witch clearly plays a role. So it should be interesting. Well, that wraps up this episode of Onceable. Thank you guys so much for listening. And we're going to be on a little bit of a break because the season is on hiatus now until after the Winter Olympics, which is in March. So we may try to have a couple of episodes in between just to talk about things or as new news is released for the upcoming rest of the season. So just hang tight. We will be around. So thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Jen.
I'm Laura.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.